Okay, could I have a couple people help me with the communion? We had to get to this before we could get to Resurrection Sunday. And it's this sacrifice. Here's a hot off the press vision for you. When God looks at you, He's not looking directly at you. He's looking at the sacrifice of His Son. And He sees the sacrifice of His Son as being absolutely perfect in every single way. So when He sees you, He sees the perfect sacrifice. He sees you through a veil of His Son's blood. Now Paul told us that the only reason that Christians are sickly and die early among you is because they don't discern the body of Christ. So when we look at this bread, we're not just seeing a piece of bread. We're going to identify different things about His sacrifice and His body, what He did, what He went through in His passion. If you look at this bread, you'll notice that this bread is made without yeast. And that's very important to understand, because yeast is significant of sin in the Bible. And Jesus' body was and is completely without sin. He never made a mistake. He never sinned one time. This pure body of His got beaten and bruised for us. And if you'll notice, in this bread there's stripes. And it's by His stripes we were healed. In fact, your healing was paid for before your sins were. Because He had to go to the whipping post to get scourged before He could get to the cross to pay for your sins. And if you'll notice, this bread has been pierced. Everywhere Jesus' body was pierced, He shed blood. And whenever He shed blood, we get redemption in some area. You know, He shed blood in His hands. He shed blood out of His feet. He shed blood out of His scalp. He shed blood out of His forehead. He shed blood out of His back. And certainly He shed blood when the Roman centurion, the soldier, thrust a spear through His side. Jesus' blood was shed on purpose for us in so many ways, so that we can get freedom in so many ways. And if you look, you'll notice that this bread is slightly burned. That means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus when He was on that cross. In fact, Jesus on the cross said, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Because all the sins of the whole world was laid on Jesus, and God could not look on sin. He turned His face from Jesus. And that was the first time that Jesus ever addressed God as God. He had always addressed Him as Father. You know something, before that time, we could only address Him as God. We could not address Him as Father. But because Jesus took our place and God treated Jesus the way we deserve to be treated, now He can treat us the way Jesus deserved to be treated. Now we can run to Him and say, "Father." Now we know that God will never ever turn His face from us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And it's because of His broken body that we get healing in our body. It's by His stripes we were healed. So we're taking this, and we thank You for this in Jesus' name. That blood of Jesus is the most powerful substance that has ever been released on the face of this earth. Truly, when the blood of Jesus hit this earth, everything changed. There was nothing ever going to be the same again. And it's because of His blood that our sins have been washed away. And it's because of His blood that our sins are continually being washed away. 1 John 1:7 says, if you walk in the light as we are in the light, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. Praise God for that. This blood of Jesus gives us boldness to enter into the throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in time of need. When we make a mistake, the first place we need to go is run to God. Run to our loving Heavenly Father. He's the only one that can fix it. This blood of Jesus has put us in right standing with God. Everything that was wrong between us and God before we got born again got washed away by the blood of Jesus. And God forgot it. You got a clean slate. Now because of the blood of Jesus, you get a clean slate every day. Thank you for this. So today I'm not going to be preaching from the King James, but today it's going to be out of the Spirit-Filled Life Bible. So it might sound just a little bit different, but that's okay. We're still going to get to the same place. Okay, you're still going to go to heaven even if you don't read a King James. Open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 16. Thank God Jesus is alive. Because He lives, it makes our life worth living. And because He lives, we can stand up to today's challenges. It's because He lives, our life is worth living. You know, if He wasn't alive, we wouldn't have anything to look forward to. Mark chapter 16, verse 1. Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint Him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb. When the sun had risen, they said among themselves, "Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?" But when they looked up, they saw the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But He said to them, "Do not be alarmed. Do you seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified? He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid Him, but go tell His disciples and Peter that He is going before you into Galilee. There you will see Him as He said to you." So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now when He arose early on the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had cast 7 demons. She went out and told those who had been with Him, as they mourned and wept, and they heard that He was alive and had been seen of her, they did not believe. After that, He appeared in another form to 2 of them as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, He appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and He rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen Him after He had risen. And He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. But he who did not believe will be condemned, And all these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying of signs. Amen. Okay, there's a lot in there. That sounds, you know, sometimes we just read these things like that would be just a cool Easter story. But there's so much more. There's so much more involved in this chapter. And we're going to look into this a little deeper. I want you to notice here in verse 6. He said unto them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. Did you notice that? He said, you seek Jesus of Nazareth. Not Jesus of heaven. Why is that so significant? Because this is the same person that it talks about how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with power and the Holy Ghost, and he went about healing and doing good. Why is that so important? Because I understand that Jesus is all God, and Jesus was all God. But he laid that aside when he came here. And he showed us how a righteous man that gets anointed by the Holy Ghost is to operate in this world. Now the Bible tells us that when you get born again, see in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, it tells us that you get made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That means you get put into right standing with him. The minute you get born again, it's not something you can earn. It's not something you can attain to. It's not something you can... It's not about you. It's because Jesus' blood was applied to you. And now you're in right standing with God. Jesus was certainly in right standing with God on this earth. The Bible tells us that God was pleased with him. So he was in right standing with God. Jesus did something very important. He got baptized. Certainly he got baptized in the river, but also the Holy Spirit came on him, fell on him. He got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then he went out and started his ministry. So that's a picture of us. When we get born again, we get made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Okay? Then we can go get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then we can go out there and do these things that Jesus told us to do. Now, if he had just said how Jesus of heaven came, then we could say, well, that was God. That was God that did that. Certainly, it was God that did that, but he did that through an anointed man. See, it's very important to identify Jesus as being human on this earth. He identified himself with us. He took on the form of man, and then he took on our sin. And because he came back to life, we have victory in this life. We don't have to wait until we get to heaven to have victory. We have victory now. And it's because he lives, we can have peace on this earth. There may be chaos around us, but we can have peace. And it's not just peace, like the hippies said, peace, let's don't fight no more. It's shalom. Jesus said shalom. That means nothing missing, nothing broken. Everything that's wrong being made right. It's the fullness of God going into you. That's the kind of peace that Jesus sent to us. The peace. Now here's an interesting thing. Verse 7 says, go tell his disciples and Peter. How would you like to be sorted off by Jesus? Go tell his disciples and Peter. But here's the thing. See, Peter had just denied him 3 times. But here's the important thing about this verse. It's a special reference to Peter. In an assurance of forgiveness and restoration after his denials. Even though Peter blew it 3 times, he made 3 big mistakes. He said he was ready to go to the cross with him. He was ready to do anything. Whatever he had to do. And Jesus said, before the cock crows, you'll deny me thrice. And Peter denied him 3 times. I can't even imagine how bad Peter must have felt. But I know how bad I felt when I've made mistakes, and so do you. We've all felt bad when we made mistakes. But look what Jesus did. He forgave him. He forgave him. He said, I'm not holding it against you. See, that's the whole thing about the New Testament, this whole new covenant. It says, he's not holding our sins against us. Jesus paid the price for them. And we're 100% forgiven. Imagine that. Imagine that. We got washed completely clean. We do have. You want to go to children's church? You want to go to children's church? No? Okay. Okay. We'll just stay here. Okay. Well, anyway, we get completely 100% totally forgiven. All the way. Everything has been taken care of. Now we're to walk in that. We're to walk in that forgiveness. We're to walk in that love. We're to walk in His peace. But that's what Jesus did for Peter. He didn't hold his past against him. He didn't hold his mistakes against him. I know Peter felt heavy condemnation. I mean, we tend to feel heavy condemnation. When we make mistakes, we feel bad. But Romans chapter 8, verse 1 tells us there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. So when you get born again, you're in Christ Jesus. As far as God's concerned, there's no condemnation for you. He wants you to walk in liberty, and He wants you to walk in the freedom in Christ. And it's because of His resurrection that we can do that. In fact, the Bible tells us that Jesus is now our high priest, and He's sitting at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. That means He's praying for us. The Bible tells us that He ever lives to make intercession for us. That means all the time He's praying for us. How do you think about that for just a second? A lot of times people will drive hundreds of miles to go see a very anointed preacher so that he can lay hands on them and pray for them. Did you know that the most anointed, most powerful faith preacher that ever walked the face of this earth is praying for you daily? In fact, John 17 records a prayer that Jesus prayed for us. Another thing I want you to see in here is that he goes before us. He said that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he told you. One thing you need to understand is you're not going anywhere that Jesus hasn't been. He said to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, you're not going to go anywhere that he hasn't already been. So he's not going to send you someplace that you can't handle. I know sometimes people get worried. They, man, I can't even think about going to witnessing to this person. This guy is mean. You know, even some of the hardest hearts will crumble in the presence of love. Some of the most, I've seen my boss, he was hot-headed, short-tempered, and I went to witness to him anyway, and he started crying, and he got born again. The love of God will change a man before your very eyes. But it's got to be his word. He did say, go into all the world and preach the gospel. One thing down here in this, in verse 11. When they had heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. Here's the thing. People may not believe the resurrection. People may not believe that he's alive. People may not believe that he died on the cross for their sin. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, literally by the words of Christ. So when we go tell people about the saving grace of God, when we go tell people about the love of Jesus, when we go tell people that God really did raise Jesus back to life, that he really did die for your sins, what happens? A little bit of faith seed got planted in their heart. Now they may say, no, you're just talking to the hand. Stay away. Don't worry, they didn't deny you. They denied Christ. So then somebody else comes by and tells them how Jesus died on the cross for their sins and that how God raised Jesus back to life. Another seed got planted in their heart. And then somebody else comes and tells them and another seed got planted in their heart. And then one day, something miraculous happens. They start saying, you know, did God really do that? Could Jesus really die on the cross for my sins? And God really raised him back to life? And now they're starting to ask themselves questions. They're starting to doubt the devil. And they're starting to ask questions about God. And then pretty soon, they do come to believe. And they say, yes, this is the truth. What happened? They kept hearing the gospel. They kept hearing somebody tell them about Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. They're not going to pick it up the first time. They may not pick it up the second time. I don't know how these guys come up with these stats, but somebody said it takes on average of somebody hearing the gospel seven times before they finally believe. I don't know where they come up with that number. But sooner or later, if you keep planting seeds and you keep planting seeds and you keep planting seeds, it's going to take root. and water those seeds. See, it's one thing to pray a prayer of faith, but also we have to stand watch over our word. So when we plant seeds into an area, we need to stand watch over those, and we need to keep speaking God's word over those. Say, if you have a loved one that's running around that you want to see them get born again, it's great to pray for them. That's very important. But also, you need to keep speaking faith-filled words over that person. You know, don't just pray for them and then turn around and say, Uncle Bob is such an idiot, he's never going to get this. No. Say, Uncle Bob, I claimed him for the kingdom of God. God said that he would that all men come to a knowledge of the truth, be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So we have a high ministry. We have an important ministry in this world. Even though we may not be a pastor or a teacher or an evangelist or a prophet or an apostle, we do have a ministry. Chapter 24, verse 46. Luke chapter 24, verse 46. This is in red. That means it's Jesus speaking. So we know this is 100% truth. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. We are called to be witnesses to his resurrection. And we've been called to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We're not supposed to leave town until we get the promise from the Father, which is the endowment of power, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't know how many missionaries I've talked to, but I can almost tell almost immediately, where they stand on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. When they come back from the mission field and they tell me how hard it was, how much work it was, how challenging it was, how tough it was. When they come back and tell me all the hardships, I say, you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We don't believe in that. I say, well, you're going to keep on having a hard time. Like, no, the Spirit-filled ones, when they come back, I don't care where they come from, what part of the world they've been to, when they come back, they say, that was the funnest thing I ever been through. That was a blast. You can't believe how much fun we had. We've seen stuff happen we never seen over here before. We've seen miracles. I talked to people where they actually went to leper cities. Do you know there's still leper cities in this world? There's colonies of lepers. There's colonies of drug addicts. Yeah, it's not L.A. either. There's whole colonies where they just take these people, they count them as hopeless, and they just put them in places where they say, okay, you stay here, and you're out of society, and they just keep them high, I guess. But they go minister to those. These guys have fun. They get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but they didn't leave town until they got the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then they started having fun. Here's a really cool thing about the resurrection of Jesus. He's alive, and he's the overseer. He's maybe the test, whatever they call it, of the will. See, that's what the New Testament is. It's a will. He's the overseer of the will. That means he's there watching over it to make sure his will is done on this earth. He's here to make sure that these promises are assured to you. He just needs a little cooperation on our part. How do we do that? By agreeing with His Word. Amen? We already agree with Him that He's alive. Now we go and we agree with Him that we are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That was one of the hardest things for me to ever say. Because I didn't feel righteous. Well, how does righteousness feel? Nobody knows. What I didn't understand was righteousness meant right standing. Now I'm in right standing with God because of what Jesus did. And then it took me a hard time to accept that I was anointed. And that was a really religious word. And it took a ringworm to teach me what it meant. Serious, I got ringworm one time. Went and paid this doctor $50 so he could tell me to go buy a $5 tube of salve. And the directions said, anoint the affected area. So I was sitting there thinking, this is a pretty religious word for a ringworm. That's what happens to you when you get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You get anointed. You are now a little anointed one. Now you're like Jesus. The devil doesn't know if he's looking at you or he's looking at Jesus. You're covered over with the blood. You're covered over with the anointing. Amen? Thank God for the resurrection. Because now Jesus is everywhere all the time. When he was on this earth, he could only be in one place at a time. Now he's everywhere. All the time. But the most important thing is he's in your heart. He's in your heart. That's where he chooses to make his home. In your heart. You know, he wants you to go out and add to his family. Bring in more people. Show more people the love of Christ. Show them how God forgave you. Show them how that God loves them. Do something good for them. The Bible tells us it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. So when we go do something good for somebody that's a total scoundrel, I didn't say go on and find somebody who you know goes to church every Sunday. They got it going on, probably. They're born again. They're okay. You go do something good for a scoundrel and give God a chance to work in their heart. Did you know that Jesus healed a lot of scoundrels? Lots of them. He did a lot of good things for a lot of scoundrels. He did a lot of good things for us. We were scoundrels before we got born again. But, you know, Jesus was ministering to the lost. And there was a lot of people that got healed before they got born again. Did you know that? That's our job. Now we go out, Him working with us, and we testify to His resurrection. Remember Jesus said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. So we don't have to be superheroes of faith. All we have to do is just go, ask in His name, and He does the doing. How cool is that? That makes it pretty simple. Well, there may be somebody that doesn't know that God forgave them. And so I'm going to give an altar call. Because we get these messages go on the internet and they go on Facebook and they go all over. There's people all over the place listening to these. There could be somebody that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior that needs to be born again now. So I'm going to give them a chance. I want every head bowed and every eye closed. We bow our head out of respect to God. And we close our eyes out of respect to our neighbor. Because it's always a personal decision between us and God. If you would like to be born again now, say this prayer out of your mouth. If you're already born again, say this prayer out of your mouth so your ears can hear it. So you have practice saying it so you can tell it to your neighbor. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. To be my Lord, to be my Savior. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that God raised you back to life. This day, I confess the Lord Jesus to be my Lord, be my Savior. Thank you, Father, for forgiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. If you said that for the first time, out of your heart, you've been born again. Now I encourage you to find a Bible-believing church that will help you grow in faith and grow in your spiritual fellowship with Jesus. You have a relationship with Him now that will not be broken. It's a fellowship that we want to grow stronger. Well, thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for everything that you've done for us. And thank you for this very special day that we celebrate. And Father, remind us that we need to celebrate the resurrection every day. Father, as we go about our day into this world, we ask that you guide us. And teach us and show us how to share your love with our neighbors and the people that we meet in our day-to-day adventures. In Jesus' name, amen. We have cookies and snacks and coffee and fellowship back here, and a stray kid there's somewhere. Come back and get one. So come back and visit a little bit and enjoy some fellowship.